What is up, chatbots and digital marketing podcast listeners? This is Carl Schuchert. I am back here with another interview. Guys, I've got my good friend, Chris Ormist, and he has decided to join us for episode number 12. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we're continuing to do this thing. You guys, if you guys completely appreciate this, go ahead and share the love of these calls, of these podcasts, wherever you're finding us and wherever you're finding this media. Maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's on your favorite podcasting platform. Either way, share the love. Let us know. Send us some messages. I would love to hear if you guys are enjoying these calls. Now, in today's interview, I actually interview Chris and we talk about his background. In fact, we talk about Viagra. Okay, this is how he got started online. So he's going to be talking about how he got started online. We'll be talking a little bit about Viagra. And then you guys will actually learn a little bit more about what he's doing. And he's a very smart person. He's probably one of the smartest online marketers that I know about. He's been doing it since like 1998, which is pretty crazy. He's been around for a long time, behind the scenes on some pretty revolutionary software. And also on top of that, he's worked with Google on their search algorithm when Google first started. So not only that, he worked for Intel and just had a very successful agency ever since. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and shoot this back to myself and we're going to go ahead and get started with the interview right now. What is up, chatbots and digital marketing podcast listeners? This is Carl Schuchert, and I'm back with another fantastic interview with my good friend, Chris Ormist. And a little bit about Chris. Chris began his career at Intel as a senior systems engineer specializing in cybersecurity. His job was to prevent internal espionage protecting Intel's intellectual assets. As he then ducked out of Intel because of his agency grew too large to manage on a part-time basis. Earlier in the game, Google connected with Chris and his company and built their internal algorithms from his SEO work and his website. So in some respects, Chris taught Google how to be better at what they do, which is search. Chris then began writing software for his agency and later opened his software up to other agencies so they could be better organized and automated. His software is focused around two main themes. First, to automate tedious and difficult tasks, and second, to provide access to cutting-edge marketing processes and data. So without further ado, I am super excited to have you, Chris. If you want to just say hi and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. And thanks for having me on today. It's great to be with you. This is always a good time to talk with fellow agency owners and people who do what we do all together so that we can, you know, forum and talk about things that are working, maybe even talk about things that aren't working so we can be better as agencies and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's great to be with you.
Awesome. Awesome. Stoked to have you here, Chris. First thing I want to ask you is, you know, where did everything start for you, you know, online? I know you've been online for, last time we talked, I was amazed by how long you've actually been online, and some of the crazy stories that you've kind of encountered in the online industry, and software and online marketing even. But where did it start for you? Like when did you, you know, we talked about when you were working with Intel, your agency began, was that when it started or did it start before then?
It actually, that was like a little lull in between some craziness that we did before and after. So it all kind of started with me and a buddy of mine. We were cabling. We did a bunch of computer cabling at nighttime. And so we're cabling at a bank and we're just like, we should start a business together. And we're like, yeah, because, you know, like when you're an entrepreneur, it's like you can always do things better. And you've got so many good ideas that you think are going to like rock the world and stuff like that. And so He went and he finished up his degree at the University of Arizona. And he said, as soon as I'm done, I'm going to give you a call. We're going to start up a business. I'm like, all right. And, you know, thinking, you know, how that goes, you know, I'm never going to get a phone call from this guy. But sure enough, like literally the day he got his degree, he calls me up. He's like, you ready to get started? And I was just in a position where I could. So I'm like, yeah, let's go do it. And so we started up a web design company. And we thought that that was like really cool because, you know, back then, not everybody had websites like they do now. And so We started a website design company. We were speaking on stage to about 300 people. They were mostly real estate agents at the time, I believe. And some guy came up afterwards, you know how, you know, they'll come up and shake your hand and talk to you a little bit. And so they came up and they said, hey, can you sell stuff on the internet? We're like, yeah. And they're like, well, can you sell like drugs on the internet? And we're like, I don't know. That sounds a little risky. And he says, because my brother, he lives in a small rural community, and he wants to buy Viagra there, because if he goes to the doctor there, who's his uncle, then his uncle's kind of a chatty kind of guy. So he says, then all the women that he wants to date there are going to know he's taking Viagra and he's got a problem, right? So he's like, it would be really helpful if, you know, people like that could be able to get Viagra kind of, you know, outside of the customary, you know, ways and things like that to protect themselves. And we're like, that's interesting. And this is way before Viagra was on the internet. I think there was only one company on the internet and you couldn't even find them, kind of a thing. And so we went to the Arizona Board of Pharmacy and we said, hey, can you sell Viagra? And it wasn't just Viagra, it was like Viagra, Celebrex, a bunch of others that were like less harmful than aspirin. And that kind of a thing. And they said, yeah, you should be able to do that just fine. And so they kind of walked us through the whole process of where to buy the drugs and how to set up the company and like all that kind of stuff. And like, again, this is the Arizona Board of Pharmacy. It's not, you know, this is like the state of Arizona kind of helping us out. So we literally got an office right across from theirs at the Arizona Biltmore, just so we could stay close to them. Well, long story short, we start selling Viagra online. Well, all the drugs online. Viagra is the biggest seller, of course, you know. It's starting to become all the craze, and all of a sudden we show up on CNN News on the half hour. And think about how many sales you're going to get when you show up on CNN News on the half hour, and they're saying things like, this company is claiming they can get you Viagra in 48 hours. And they said it in kind of a negative tone, but
great advertising. Yeah,
we had $100,000 days. It was crazy. And so, you know, our doctors were, you know, prescribing like crazy, and our pharmacists were sending them out as fast as we could get it in. And it was pretty cool. And then that all came crashing down when the government basically said, hey, you're going to have to give us a, I forget what they called it. It was basically, they wanted us to pay them off, basically, to be able to sell online. They called it some kind of a license fee of like $2 million. And we're like, really? And so we just closed everything down and said, nah, we're not going to play your game. So anyway, that was our first introduction to, you know, big sales on the internet. We're like, hey, if we did it once, we can do it again. So we started up several other companies and things like that.
When was that?
That was probably 1998. I'm sorry, 19, right before the year 2000.
Wow.
So we built it up really big, and we made a bunch of money off of that. And what we did is we turned it around and invested it all into computers. We bought racks of servers, because at the time they didn't have like Amazon and you know, AWS and things like that that we have now. So we bought racks of servers. We bought furniture for an office, and we just kind of got all set up from it. And then we started up a bunch of other companies that some of them became successful, and most of them we closed down for various reasons. And so that's really where we got started, and everything was based off of us knowing how to do SEO. In that period of time is where we built a relationship with Google. We literally built most of their algorithms for them at the very beginning. For about their first year of business, we did pretty much all of their algorithms. And so after we broke free from that, then we understood their algorithms and exactly how they worked, and we were able to get on top of the search engines for any keyword we wanted: wedding rings, business loans, skateboards, I mean, name it. And I mean, Viagra, we actually ranked on top three positions of Viagra twice, not just once. So we did a lot of fun stuff with SEO, but eventually it just got boring for me because it wasn't a challenge. We could hit it every time. Now, I say that now, appreciating how difficult it is now. But back then, and for us, it's just like we never missed it. We could just get it all the time. And so at the time I was thinking, you know, this is great for big businesses. We had a bunch of clients and they were all paying us around 10,000 or more a month. And so that left out all the local businesses. And my dad ran a local business. He was a contractor. And so he would do remodels and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you know, this group of businesses is underserved when it comes to online marketing, and they should have equal access, because the internet is the great equalizer, right? It puts everybody on the same playing field if you're big or small. And so I kind of drew a passion for the local businesses out there and started to develop software and processes for local agencies. And that's kind of where I got started. And from there, we just built out, you know, additional products and stuff to support the local marketing industry.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that story. I wasn't sure if you were going to totally share that with us, but I'm glad that you did. I think it's an interesting story. You know, it's such a good story. And also, you're like one of the smartest people I know. So, I mean, getting into helping Google, I mean, who the heck does that? Help Google figure out their algorithms for search in the early days. And then crazy, creating products that get people on search engine, like on the first page. I know you used to, I think when I first met you, you were getting people in like the first three sections on the first page, which is pretty crazy. It is difficult now, definitely, but still a viable thing that people should focus on as a good, I don't know, do you think it's a good short-term strategy, or is it just more of a long-term strategy when it comes to SEO nowadays?
Yeah, it's definitely a long-term strategy. Short-term is like paper, you know, all paid search, whether it's Facebook or AdWords or, you know, YouTube marketing, you know, you name it. It's that's what we call the sprint, because you can get into it and like literally today you can have, you know, customers, you know, calling and things like that. The problem with it is typically it's much more expensive. So a good balanced campaign usually comprises both aspects. One of them, actually three different things. One of them is paid search, so you can get immediate traffic coming in. The second one is SEO and what we call the three-pack marketing, you know, like in three-pack of Google. And so that local marketing is a, those are kind of like the marathons, because it takes between 3 and 6 months to get any rankings that are worth, you know, that are bringing in new customers. Now, the thing about it is that it performs 80% better than the paid search, because 80% of the people will skip the first ads knowing that they're paid ads. Anyone can pay to get there. There's nothing special. And they'll go to the first three or four links on Google and they'll click one of those. That's 80%. So it's definitely a worthwhile pursuit to do, but it costs money, costs more than ever now, because it's more difficult to get there now than ever. The competition is more fierce. Google has cracked down on all of the different schemes and ways that you can get around doing it the right way. And it just costs a lot of money to do it the right way, but you can get 80% more, you know, customers by doing it that way. So a balanced approach is that. And then there's the social media and basically all the foundational work that's under the social media umbrella, just to represent yourself well, including, you know, having a good website presence, your social media and all that, just kind of in places like this is who our brand is and who we are as a company. So those three things are the three kind of pillars to build marketing on.
Nice. Love it. Good answer. What do you feel is like the number one thing that everyone is missing that kind of keeps people from being successful? Like, is there anything that you think you can attribute to success for people, like just people in general, like, you know, people get in their heads sometimes, or maybe the stumbling block is something financial. It could be a lot of things. What do you think is the number one thing? And then also, like, what's always helped you for overcoming hurdles in life?
Instead of one thing, maybe I can do one thing in two different ways. One thing personal and one thing business. How about that?
Sure.
So on the personal side, the one thing I would say is don't be a lone wolf. And what I mean by that is seek out people like yourselves, like what we're doing right now, and have thought sharing, masterminds, things like that. Like one thing that both, you know, Carl, you and I are involved with different masterminds, things like that, with people that do what we do. And I don't know how agencies do this without that, honestly, because you have to have frank discussions like, this part of my business is completely failing. Is there anybody else here who, you know, if you're talking to a group of people who do what you do, to say, have you been able to master this and kind of get your arms around this part? And then all of a sudden the arms start going up and say, try this, you know, use this. This is what revolutionized our company here. And all of a sudden you get your back, you know, you get back on track and things are working well. But outside of a mastermind, if you're a lone wolf, I don't know how you can survive. So these types of podcasts and this these types of discussions are just critical on kind of a personal and business level that way. Now, the one thing from businesses, like just as a quick note, we've done over 10,000. We were looking the other day. We're over 9,900 campaigns for small businesses that we do for agencies. And so we've worked with over 500 agencies in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. And out of all the agencies that are the most profitable, the ones that are the most successful are the ones who pick a niche and stick with it. They don't accept every single project that comes along. Like, you know, we all kind of start in a position where you take any business you can get. You know, I mean, we've all been there. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but what you need to understand is that should be your springboard and not your foundation. Your foundation should be, I focus on ophthalmologists or dentists or, you know, plumbers, or, you know, pick your vertical market that you're most comfortable working with and do everything for that profession. So, you know, it upside down and backwards, you talk their language.
Uh-oh. Chris, you're breaking up
better than
probably the last half a minute.
Breaking up?
You broke up. Yeah.
Oh, let me back up just a little bit to make sure we get that.
Your last word was springboarding.
Yeah. So it's, you can springboard by using, you know, different types of customers, but really your foundation should be a vertical market. So whether that's a plumber, you know, the plumbing market, it could be ophthalmology, it could be dentistry, it could be, you know, just whichever one you're most comfortable with. And you know that business better than anyone else. Get really good at it. What you can do is you can read the resources that you built out over and over again instead of coming up with new ones for the next market and then new ones for the next market and then new ones for the next market. And so, you know, that being said, pick a niche. It'll make your life easier and it'll make your business a lot more profitable.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. It kind of reminds me of sort of like, it's pretty much kind of what I also kind of teach, which is have like your core offer, your core thing that you do. So maybe you sell chatbots, digital marketing services, chatbot marketing, because no one's doing it. Or maybe something else is your core niche. Either way, you have one that's feeding the other. So like everything else you do is kind of feeding whatever your main thing that you specialize in. It's kind of like referral marketing, but you're building different offers and different verticals that feed the main, yeah. Offer or your, you know, the thing that you're really passionate about and the thing that you like to do the best that helps the most people. So yeah, good stuff. What about this? Is there any like aha things that's happened to you recently that really has stuck out, that's helped you personally, that you think, you know, could help some people on this call and on our podcast?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think one of the big aha moments came early in my life, and it's like my dad was kind of like a Renaissance man in a way, where he would do a lot of different things. He worked at Honeywell Corporation for 27 years, and then he ducked out and became a contractor because he loved to build things. And I'm just like, you don't know how to build houses. And he's like, well, people build houses, right? And I'm like, well, yeah. He's like, I'm people. And that was his whole philosophy in life, which is, I'm people, I can do anything that other people can do. And so I kind of grew up with this mindset, like if I want to do it, I can do it. And I think that was kind of like an early aha moment that was like really important for me, that I think we could all learn from, which is you can do anything you want. You know, our own limitations are basically our own lack of creativity and our own fears. And so our dreams just need to be bigger than our fears.
I like it. Love it. So yeah, so basically, you know, we're just holding ourselves back from what we think we can achieve. And as long as we have a big, beautiful imagination of some things and ideas we want to do, it's up to us to just go after them. I like that.
Right. You want to be a 7-figure agency? You know what? You can do it. You want to be an 8-figure agency? Guess what? You can do that too. So don't be afraid.
Wasn't there a guy in your group that you just went to the mastermind you were a part of? Wasn't there a guy that just had an eight-figure buyout?
Yeah. So, it's pretty cool. So, there's a group, there's two guys in our group that built a SaaS model product, and they were able to build it up, and they were approached by another company and said, "Hey, would you be willing to sell that?" And they're like, "Yeah." So they sold it for multiple eight figures just recently. And it was just like, but the cool thing about it that I thought was like, for me, like if I sold out that big, I would take a big long nap, because you know we all work hard as agencies, right? I mean, we kind of get burned out sometimes, and I'd probably take a month or two off. You know how much time they took off? None. They're back in the game, and they're just doing other things. You know, they're helping promote. You know, some of us because we're all really good friends, and so they're still helping to promote and do everything, and they're just as much into it now as they ever were. And so, I think that kind of teaches me like, you know, enjoy the process that you go through, no matter where you are in the stage, whether you just sold or you're building or you're starting an agency or you're like, you know, heavy into it. Just enjoy the process and just make sure that you're living life along the way and that you're balanced, that you're not giving too much to your business and not your family, things like that. And just enjoy life during the process. We all have stresses. We all have things that we worry about, pressures from taxes and you know, one of the most important things is like live life along the way.
Yeah. Yep. Got to smell the roses sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what projects are you currently working on?
So we have a couple of projects. It's funny because we started a bunch of projects staggering, but like two of them came together all at the same time. Actually, three of them all did just by chance. But we're working on three different things, which are pretty cool. Like we have one product out there that we're able to target like restaurants or businesses, and we can physically track people who walk into their businesses. It's almost like a business surveillance system where we can pull IDs off of everyone's phones who go into that area, and then we can start showing them ads and all that kind of stuff. And one new process that we just came out with, we've been working on this for a while, is we're able to follow these people when they go into, say, a restaurant. And a competitive restaurant says, "I want to market to these people because, like, I'm Outback Steakhouse and this is Texas Roadhouse. Those are my people. I want those people into my restaurant," kind of a thing. So we've been doing this for a little while now. But what we've done is now we can follow these people home, which is a little creepy, but we don't know who they are. So they go to the restaurant and then they go home. And so about four or five nights in a row, we say, "Is that phone in a residential area at 3 o'clock in the morning?" And so they're there at 3 o'clock in the morning at the same place 3 days in a row, probably their home. And so now that we have their address at home, we start sending them direct mail. So it's just another channel that we can do to reach out to those people.
Wow. That is kind of creepy, but at the same time, as a marketer, that's awesome. I can already imagine just like sending them Messenger ads, you know, inside a Messenger that said something like, "Hey, did you just join us at Outback Steakhouse? We want to offer you a 50% off coupon. Come back, click the button here." They become a subscriber and you got a coupon for them. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah, funny.
And you know, we're kind of running out of time for the podcast itself.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you one last thing. Is there anything you want to leave us with?
So I think just kind of like along the lines that we were talking about before, which is be your best self. You know, don't compare yourself with anyone else. You know, when you dive into something, give it 100%, because anything worth your time is worth giving 100% of yourself to. Don't give up and work so hard that you kill yourself. Don't do those crazy things in there. You know, get a nice balanced life. Work hard for sure. Give it all you got. But you know, balance your life out and, you know, lift people up along the way. Don't leave carnage behind you. You know, don't leave people behind. Bring people up along with you and make them your friends, make them the people that you want to spend time with. And as you do that, you'll build not only a good business, but you'll build a good life along with it.
Love it. Beautifully said. All right, guys, this is the end of the podcast. I'm going to go ahead and shoot this back over to myself on the ending credits, and you will find out more about how you can follow Chris. You can find your show notes and all that stuff there. So back to myself. All right, chatbots and digital marketing podcast listeners, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I hope that you got some good nuggets out of it. Chris is an awesome guy, as you guys can tell. I've known him for a few years now, and I just continue to respect and really like the stuff that he's doing. And it was an absolute honor to have him on our call. So, guys, here's the end of the credits. I want to make sure that you guys know where to find us. You can find myself on Facebook if you just look up KarlSchucker. That's how you spell my first and last name. On top of that, you can find us on Medium. Okay, you can go to Medium and search chatbots and digital marketing, and you will find our podcast show notes if you're not there already. Make sure you join. Make sure you hit the little clap button on any of our articles. In fact, all of our show notes and any of our articles, you can find there directly. On top of that, this call is, and this webinar or this podcast is sponsored by SegMate. SegMate is a full enterprise level, messenger marketing platform that we use, and I'm also a co-founder of, and we'll actually give you guys a 14-day free trial. All you have to do is go to SegMateApp.com, and you can start your 14-day free trial. All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and end this call right now, but I appreciate you. Keep tuning in, keep listening. Make sure you join us on your favorite platform, and you guys will never miss a thing. So we'll see you guys soon. Thanks.